Well, my next guest is a great Chicago editor, literary critic, and writer. Donna Seaman has been the editor for adult books at Booklist for years and also has reviewed books for The Trib and LA Times. She's also written essays and published a collection of her interviews in Writers on the Air, conversations about books. But her latest book has nothing to do with books. Instead, Donna turns her attention to the visual arts. Art history hasn't been kind to women artists. Beyond Frida Kahlo and Georgia O'Keeffe, many women have contributed great art but haven't been recognized like their male peers. And in many cases, women have had several more obstacles to sustain professional careers in their fields. Donna profiled some noteworthy names in history in her new book called Identity Unknown, Rediscovering Seven American Women Artists. She'll be reading and taking questions at the Seminary Co-op Bookstore in Hyde Park tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then for those in Milwaukee, she'll be appearing at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Donna Seaman in studio. Donna, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Justin, thank you so much. I'm thrilled.
This is a fascinating book, really a topic that I didn't know much about. When, you know, I don't have much of an art background, but to think about, you know, as Pete and I kind of played the game at the top of the show, you know, beyond Frida Kahlo and Georgia O'Keeffe, there's a cliff. I mean, it really is. History has not been kind in the art world to women artists.
Oh, that's exactly right. And the amazing thing is that the seven artists I write about in Identity Unknown all achieved recognition in their lifetime. And that's what was so mystifying to me. They sold work, they had shows, they were interviewed. There's, you know, there's a record of their achievements after they died. The art history people just ignored them.
And how does that happen? I mean, I guess that probably happens in a lot of artistic fields and we don't think about that, but why is it so obvious in art?
It's so glaring in art. And you know, I think part of it is who's writing the art history? So for a long time, it was men. And it's a very small field compared to, you know, to other realms, somewhat rarefied. And I think, too, that each of these women artists that I chose to write about were so independent. You know, they weren't really, they didn't follow schools. They changed their styles. They were really rebellious on all fronts. So maybe they were difficult to categorize.
Yeah, maybe. Some of them have Chicago connections. You know, for you, as, you know, someone who has spent your life in books, I mean, reviewing books, writing essays, interviews, those kind of things, what's your connection? Why go into profiling visual artists?
Yeah, the visual arts. How dare I, right? Well, secretly, at least secretly in my life in Chicago, I have a very strong visual art background. My mother's an artist. I grew up looking at art and watching a woman artist at work. I myself went to art school. And this always surprises people because I am such a literary person. But art school was a tremendous experience. And having spent time in the studio and built things and painted made me feel that writing about women artists, that I could really speak to all aspects of it because I'd experienced studio life. I'd also done a tremendous amount of reading in the visual arts starting as a student. So that kind of fueled this whole book with my interest in women artists and the paltry coverage of their lives.
Well, I mean, the book, obviously, we'll talk about the artists that are actually examined in Identity Unknown, Rediscovering Seven American Women Artists, some with connections to Chicago. The other part of the book, which is really interesting to me, too, is this concept of what it takes to have a professional career in visual arts. I mean, there seems to be much more of a balancing act for women to pursue a full-time career in arts than men.
Absolutely. You know, one of my interests in art and writing about art was that the artists I'm portraying were painters and sculptors, which means you need a studio and you need materials. You know, if you're a writer, you don't need much.
Right.
You can have a pad of paper and a pen and a computer if you're lucky. To actually build and paint things requires a tremendous commitment. And so it was a financial burden for women to be able to make art. And these are all 20th century artists. They're all deceased.
Right. The last was 2007, though.
Exactly.
So it's not, we're not talking about centuries ago.
No. Right. Of course, Lenore Tawney, who's one of the Chicago connected artists, lived to be 100. So she went through the earlier phases.
Yeah.
So all these women having a career, for one thing, was a radical departure from being a wife and mother. And women are paid less. Women are still paid less. And for them, even the women in my book who were who taught at universities and colleges were paid less than their male peers. So the whole endeavor of making visual art was very tough, just materially speaking, let alone all the issues of how do you spend your time and sort of guilt-tripping women about wanting to do their own work instead of taking care of family.
I mean, it's also – it's fascinating to me, too, because, you know, I think about it now, and I guess that's part of – the point of this book is I think about the modern landscape when it comes to artists, and I don't necessarily feel like women are underrepresented. You know, and I only, it's anecdotal, meaning I will have friends and artists who will put in galleries in Chicago and put things together, and you recognize that it seems to be somewhat equal in the way that, that women are presented in gallery spaces other places in Chicago. That's what's so surprising about the way that history rewrites this story.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Justin, because there's a group of women artists who keep track statistically of women's exhibits, and they will tell you that, no, it's not equal. That to this today, that if you tally up the number of pieces by women in museums, they're still much less than half.
And there have been big protests about that. I think of the protests in New York City, the Guerrilla Girls,
and
this idea that there has been public demonstration and protest about inequality when it comes to artists in represented in galleries and museums.
Yes, and there's no lack of good work. I mean, there's 7 artists in this book. There could have been 100 easily.
How did you choose? Let's go through Gertrude Abercrombie, Joan Brown, Ree Morton.
Yeah.
Am I saying this? Lois Malou Jones, is that right?
Lois Malou Jones.
Lois Malou Jones. Lenore Tawney. Christina Ramberg, and Louise Nevelson.
Yes.
How do you choose that? Like you said, there's hundreds or so of artists, women artists. How do you choose these 7?
Well, it sort of began with Louise Nevelson for me. Louise Nevelson's the best-known artist in the book. Many people will have heard of her. I loved her work growing up. And she was my first source of shock, because when she died in 1988, when I started reviewing art books in the 90s and looking for things, I always looked for Louise Nevelson in books about modern sculpture, and she was not in there. And that started my whole interest in, like, how could that possibly be? You know, male artists of her time were always represented. So I started thinking about this whole question and just sort of looking for other women artists whose work really moved me. I wanted to write about artists whose work had a real impact on me in that way that art affects you,
right,
sort of beyond even articulation. You just sort of feel it in your body. So the work of Gertrude Abercrombie, who was a Chicago artist, lived in Hyde Park, right near the U of C campus, was a fascinating painter. She had these spooky kind of prairie landscapes. She painted, they were all self-portraits, but very symbolic. You know, she had herself, she's in these long penitential gowns, and she looks, sometimes she paints herself as a magician. She was called the Queen of Bohemia. She knew Studs Terkel. She knew a lot of all the jazz musicians that came through Chicago in the 1940s. She also played the piano. Her house was a real hangout for creative people. She was just phenomenally interesting.
You tell the story, and I feel like, man, you're talking about Studs Terkel. You're talking about Nelson Algren. Why is Gertrude not remembered?
What
happened to the sort of even telling her story?
Exactly.
So, Christina Ramberg's another one in Chicago.
Now, Christina Ramberg, she's the only artist in the book I actually knew. And she passed away in the mid-1990s. She was a teacher. She was first a student and then a teacher at the School of the Art Institute. Now, Christina's work is known. She was part of the Chicago Imagists. So she has in Chicago, people know her and remember her. Mm-hmm. But she really should be much better known. She should be known all across the world and all across the country. It was very meaningful to me to be able to tell Christina's story.
Well, I mean, I guess the question that comes out of it is, you talk about, the personal connection or the regional connection, the local connection.
Right.
You know, and I guess this can apply to different arts when you think about music or you think about, other forms of writing. sometimes, you know, the national scene might be different than the local scene, or the history only remembers the broad strokes of artists that play out on a national level. Is that, I mean, could that be some of the argument for why women artists, especially the seven that you profile in this book, aren't remembered? The fact that maybe they have a little bit more local prominence and they didn't register on a national level?
Well, that's true in Gertrude's case, for sure. She just could, you know, New York has always been the real art central. Another reason I wanted to write this book was to remind people that art was being made in this whole big country. So Gertrude just never got her footing in New York. Gertrude had a lot of issues in her life, too. She did not have the easiest time. Yeah. But the other artists, for instance, Lois Mailou Jones, who was born in Boston, ended up teaching at Howard University. She was an African-American artist who traveled all over the world. You know, she had a sabbatical in Paris. She turned herself into an art ambassador, traveled throughout Africa, meeting artists in Africa, introducing them to American artists, and vice versa. So there's no way she was a right. local talent. She was international in every sense of the word. A phenomenal person.
History, as they say, you know, is almost remembered by those who write it. Is there, with this book, with a sort of shedding a light on the fact that in the visual arts community there has been this inequality, do you think that as art history moves on and contemporary voices are added to that history, do you think that it'll change, that there will be more women represented in the canon of visual art in this country?
I definitely do. As you were saying earlier, there are so many women artists working now and doing profoundly interesting and original work. There's also a lot more women writing about art. Mm-hmm. And I think writing about art has really evolved. It used to be very academic. And I mean, you had newspaper critics who were brilliant and it was interesting, and most of them were men. And then in the 70s, you know, we had some of the great art writers, Barbara Rose and Linda Nochlin and Marcia Tucker. And so the dialogue expanded and the conversation changed. And I think that's really sustained now. I think with online magazines and blogs, right, there's right. so much strong, good art writing going on by both men and women. So there's many more opportunities. It's so much easier to see visual art. You know, when you write a book, I mean, everyone can acquire books. You can go to the library, you know, the books are easier. To see visual art can be very tough. You know, museums can be expensive. A lot of people are kind of shy about going
Absolutely,
to galleries
right,
or too busy,
right.
you know, have too much in their lives. Well, now you can go online, and so many museums have posted their collections. So I feel like the democratization of visual art is really increasing, and I think that's so exciting.
Well, it's a fascinating book. The book is called Identity Unknown, Rediscovering Seven American Women Artists. The author, Donna Seaman, longtime editor of adult books at Booklist, also does reviews for the Chicago Tribune, for the LA Times. She's going to be reading from the book, talking about the book, signing the book, Identity Unknown, at Seminary Co-op in Hyde Park tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and then in Milwaukee on Thursday at Boswell Book Company. Donna, pleasure to see you. I hope that we can get you back in here. We can talk about, maybe we'll talk about books.
Oh, I'd love that, Justin. Anytime. I love radio.
Thanks for coming in.